Good morning.
It's a delight to be worshipping with you this Sabbath morning, and praise God for the rain. Now, of course, we know we need much more, not only locally, but in so many parts of Australia. But let's thank the Lord for the blessings of the rain we have received. It's great to be worshipping with you this morning, and one thing that Rebecca and I love about Beaudesert, it's a dynamic Sabbath school program and the dynamic lesson study. We dig deeply into God's word, and if I had a dollar for every time I heard an amen or praise God in our Sabbath school this morning, I'd be a very wealthy man. Continue to be a Bible studying dynamic group of Seventh-day Adventist Christians here in Beaudesert. Your study of God's word, your leading out in the community will continue to draw men and women, boys and girls, into the house of God. And I might also add our very own personal congratulations to our dear young brother here. I'm not going to say how long before I turn 101, just a few more years to go yet. Praise God for the extra life beyond 70 he has given to you. Now, if there's any boys and girls in our sanctuary this morning who would like a story, I'd like you to come and sit down, but you've got to be able to see the big screen for your story time this morning. Let's come on down. Hi, boys and girls. Oh dear. Can you say Happy Sabbath, Uncle Wayne?
Happy Sabbath, Uncle Wayne.
Fantastic. Now, how about we say Happy Sabbath to the mums and dads, the grandparents, the great-grandparents, maybe the great-great-grandparents out there? Let's 1, 2, 3. Happy Sabbath, everybody. All right, today I want to tell you a story about a dolphin called Pelorus Jack, who lived in Pelorus Sound. And I want to tell you about some big ships and the ship that sank. Now, who's ever been to New Zealand, boys and girls, or those in the congregation? Who's ever been to Pelorus Sound? Oh, and I'm the only one who's seen the statue of Pelorus Jack. It's in the north part of the South Island of New Zealand. So that's our story today. These things work when you practice at home, and then when you get to the church, they don't practice anymore. I'm not a great PowerPoint guru, so looks like I'm going to have to wave my hand at the guys down the back, and they can turn to the next slide, please. Ah, there we go. Now, what do you see in those pictures? Okay, so today we're going to learn about Pelorus Jack, the very smart dolphin. All right, just there we go. This is a story about a place in New Zealand called Pelorus Sound, and the sailors in the old times were really scared to take their ships into Pelorus Sound and to sail there. And you know why they were scared? Because they were men. The women would have been brave, wouldn't they? Is that right? But the men, they were really scared about this place called Pelorus Sound. Now, that's a picture of what Pelorus Sound looks like today. But you know, in the old times, the water was shallow. There were rocks everywhere. The tides flowed quickly. And it was really scary, and there were no navigation units. You came in at night, and quite often the ships would sink, and all the people would drown. And for many years, the ships came into Pelorus Sound. Some made it, and some sank into the water. Or they came onto rocks and sank. A There we are. And that's what used to happen to some of the ships. They used to sink. Would you like to be on that big ship? Who'd like to be on that big ship?
No one.
No one. No. But one day, a dolphin they called Pelorus Jack started to lead the ships into the harbour. But before he did, the first time a big ship saw Pelorus Jack, they said, oh, there's a dolphin. Let's harpoon the dolphin. Nice for dinner. But the captain's wife said, nay, hang on a minute. We should follow that dolphin. That dolphin knows the waters. It knows where the rocks are. It knows where the channels are. We should follow the dolphin. But all the men said, ha, you're a silly old woman. You don't know what you're talking about. We're men, we're sailors. We're not going to follow some silly dolphin. But the captain thought for a moment and thought, maybe we should follow this dolphin. It knows the shallow water. It knows the deep water. It knows where the rocks are. And so they followed the ship. Something like this one. The dolphin on his own leapt in and out of the water and the ships followed. And time after time, Pelorus Jack guided the ships through the deep channels into shore. Now, wouldn't it be fun to be on a big ship and see the dolphins jumping in and out of the water? Has anyone ever seen a dolphin? My, I'm going to have to start a tour company down here in Beaudesert, I think. But you know, one day, a ship was coming in and Pelorus Jack the dolphin was diving in and out of the water. But a captain, one of the sailors saw it and thought, oh, nice dinner. And so they hurt poor Pelorus Jack. And Pelorus Jack went under the water and left the area for a really long time. And when he wasn't guiding the ships in, they started to sink. Then one day Pelorus Jack was okay again and came back to Pelorus Sound and dived in and out of the water, and the ships followed Pelorus Jack all the way into safety. Wouldn't that be cool, eh? But one day, the ship that had that naughty sailor on that hurt poor Pelorus Jack came into Pelorus Sound, and Pelorus Jack remembered the ship and he remembered the sailor, and he refused to guide that one ship into safety. And that's what happened to the ship. It ran aground and people drowned. All because that naughty sailor was mean to Pelorus Jack. Now, you know, boys and girls, and mums and dads and grandparents, aunties and uncles, in this world, there is always going to be suffering and pain. Who's ever got sick here? Got sick? Have you boys ever got man flu? When you get older, you'll know what I mean. When you get married, you'll definitely know what I mean. The animals want to hurt us humans. Us humans want to hurt the animals, just like that sailor did to poor Pelorus Jack. But you know what? In the Bible, and I want us to read this together if you can, we find some wonderful words. Let's read it all together as a family. The wolf and lamb will feed together. Now, you know, when Jesus comes again, people won't want to hurt the dolphins anymore, or the birds, or the lions, or even the snakes, because the Bible tells us that everything will be peaceful and harmony. And you know what? When Jesus comes again and we go to heaven, we'll be able to swim with the dolphins. Who'd like to do that? Yeah. Who'd like to play with the snakes? Definitely. Because they won't hurt us anymore. Who would like to slide down the back of a giraffe? Hey, wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. So when Jesus comes again, we won't want to hurt the animals anymore. And you know what? As it just said, the lamb will lie with the wolf. And we might be able to play soccer with the lions, just like this man did. So just remember, things go wrong in the world. We get sick, we die. But when Jesus comes again, we can go to heaven and we can have a great, wonderful time with Jesus and our parents, each other and the animals. Now, if you'd like to do that, to be in heaven with Auntie Rebecca and Uncle Wayne and all your family, you give me a high five on the way back to your seat. God bless you all.
Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work from which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. By Christ all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created through him and for him. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their host. The earth and all things on it, the sea and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. You made known to them your holy Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed them. The Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. May the Holy Spirit be amongst us and present as we open your word. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Doug loved Sunday school and was an eager student. He had an inquisitive mind. In fact, he was so inquisitive that he never took the Sunday school teacher's word for granted. He asked lots of questions. His inquisitiveness annoyed and frustrated his Sunday school teacher. One Sunday morning, Doug asked a question of his Sunday school teacher, and it went like this: "Why do we come to church on Sunday when Saturday is the seventh day of the week?" The teacher dismissed Doug's question and continued teaching Sunday school class. But Doug did not give up so easily and repeated the question. This time, with much frustration, the teacher told Doug to do his Sunday school lesson and to keep quiet for the rest of the class. Doug's curiosity was never satisfied, and as he got older, he was determined to seek answers to the questions of his childhood days. The issue of the Sabbath has been a great debate and a heated discussion over many lunches for a very long time. Some Christians claim that Sunday is the seventh day and that they worship on the seventh day because Jesus rose from the dead. Others claim that any day will do, provided you give God one 24-hour period, that is quite enough. And they quote a scripture found in the book of Romans, which reads like this: "One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind." Some Christians claim that the church used its power to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And then would you believe it? There is a group of Christians who have the audacity to claim that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, and furthermore, it begins and ends at sundown. As we therefore consider the issue of the Sabbath, I would like to address five questions. Which day of the week is the Sabbath? Has there been a change of day, and if so, on whose authority? Wasn't the law nailed to the cross? Does the Bible teach Sunday sacredness? And finally, does it really matter anyway? I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning or scroll on your smart device to the book of Genesis chapter 2. I encourage you to open your Bible, scroll on your smart device to Genesis chapter 2. Today I'm reading from the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. From the New King James Version, and this is what it reads. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Brothers and sisters, at the end of creation week, God rested on the seventh day Sabbath. He also blessed and sanctified the Sabbath. To sanctify means to set apart or make official. So God set apart the seventh day Sabbath and he made it official, noting it is the seventh day Sabbath. Now we move in time to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Many of us could recite this entire scripture by memory. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. And this is what it reads. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall do your labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We have discovered that God had handed the Ten Commandments to Moses at Mount Sinai, and it is important to notice that the Ten Commandments includes the fourth regarding the seventh day Sabbath. But not only did God bless the Sabbath, he hallowed the Sabbath, which means he respected the Sabbath and made it important. And which day is important? Oh dear. Which day is important? The seventh day Sabbath. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find another scripture. Listen carefully to these words. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as your Lord God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. Once again, dear church member and family member, it is clear to me, the Bible makes it very, very clear that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. It is no other day. Okay, enough of the Old Testament. Let's see what the New Testament has to say about the Sabbath. For some people will argue that the Old Testament was done away with, is no longer relevant. So let's see if the Sabbath continues to be found in the New Testament. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. Continue to open your Bibles or scroll on your smart devices. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. This is what the scripture records. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Notice what it says. Jesus taught in the synagogue on what day? On the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. Now we turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 54 to 56. You know, it's interesting. Somebody suggested to me once that I put too many scriptures in my sermon. Well, I make no apologies. I'm not here to tell you what I think. I'm here to tell you what the Bible teaches. And if I take an extra 5 or 10 minutes in my sermon to preach from the Word of God and not man's opinion, that's okay. And the more I preach, the quicker the clock seemed to get on the back wall. Luke chapter 23, verses 54 to 56. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how the body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils and rested on the Sabbath, according to command. So the women were preparing spices and oils on Friday, the preparation day, and then they returned to continue preparations for Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. So in our Bible thus far this morning, we have discovered from the Word of God that God rested on the seventh day of the week at the end of creation. He also blessed and what? Sanctified the Sabbath. We have learned that the seventh-day Sabbath was and continues to be part of the moral law, which contains all 10 commandments. Jesus and his disciples kept the seventh-day Sabbath. Friends, there is not one single scripture to support any other day for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, Saturday. But then what about the beginning and ending of Sabbath? Doesn't it begin and end at midnight? Well, as we consider the story of the creation week, the evening and the morning were the first day, evening and morning the second day. I would submit to you today, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Sabbath begins at sundown Friday and ends at sundown on Saturday. Listen to this scripture that comes from the book of Nehemiah. So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gate so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. That's from Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 19. Once again, friends, it is abundantly clear to me the Sabbath begins at sundown Friday and ends at sundown Saturday. Now, of course, when we're a bit younger, we kind of hope that the sun sets a little earlier on Saturday if we want to go and do some secular activity. And I remember going to the Mount Gravatt Church celebration some years ago, and a couple of the lads lived on the eastern side of a hill, and they were glad when Sabbath ended because it ended earlier, because they are on the eastern side of the hill and the hill shaded the sun from hitting their place. Now that they're older and wiser, they don't think so. So the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. And you can come to me afterwards and come with all sorts of claims and counterclaims and say, Wayne, look, the Sabbath is Sunday, it starts and ends at midnight. You will never, ever convince me. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. But I hear you say, come on, Wayne, the calendar on my wall at home, my office diary, my smartphone shows that Sunday is the seventh day of the week and Monday is the first day of the week. So I am keeping Sabbath on Sunday. Well, is it? I could quite easily begin making my own diaries and perhaps have Tuesday as the first day of the week and Monday as the seventh day of the week. Before we go back to the scriptures, let me share something with you about the modern calendar. Did you know that this new calendar was proposed in Switzerland in the latter part of the 20th century? The reason is simple. At the time, the large majority of businesses began trading on Monday morning and ceased trading on Saturday at midday, and therefore the diary was altered to reflect the business week. But just because there has been a change in diary does not mean that there has been a change in day from the seventh day Sabbath to any other day of the week. Now back to the scriptures. Turn with me to Mark chapter 15 and verse 42. Mark chapter 15 and verse 42. We want to dig a little bit deeper into the issue of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 15 and verse 42. And I continue to read from the New King James Version, and I encourage you to open your Bibles or scroll on your smart device. If you're an intelligent person, you will have a Microsoft tablet rather than an iPad. Sorry I had to say that, Clive and Faye. Mark chapter 15 and verse 42. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before what? The Sabbath. Now we go to Mark chapter 16 verses 1 and 2. Mark chapter 16 verses 1 and 2. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Okay, it is Friday, the preparation day. Jesus has been nailed to the cross. Joseph of Arimathea is seeking permission to bury Jesus' body. And the Bible says it was the preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. Most Christians agree that Jesus was crucified on Friday. They will also agree that Christ rose from the dead on Sunday. So we have Friday, the preparation day, the day before Sabbath. Jesus lies in the tomb during Sabbath as the prophets had predicted, and the women went to the tomb on the first day of the week when Jesus is risen. My friends, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no doubt in my mind that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, and as I said earlier, it begins and ends at sundown. But regardless of what the Bible says, some suggest that there has been a change in day from Saturday to Sunday. Well, has there been a change in day? And if so, on whose authority? Well, as we are about to discover, there has been a change of day, but I want to tell you it is not on God's authority, but rather on man's authority. Before I continue, I want to make a clear statement. I am not here today to stand in condemnation or judgment of our brothers and sisters in other Adventist churches, or indeed in other Christian churches. It's not my intention to have a shot at other believers. But in saying that, dear friends, as I preach the word of God, I must be true to God's word and not man's opinion. If you were to read the catechisms of a well-known Christian group, now catechism means a summary of a doctrine, or ask the question regarding the Sabbath, you would find that the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday by an act of man and not of God. Listen to this statement, and I am sure you've heard it before. Question, which is the Sabbath day? Answer, Saturday is the Sabbath. Question, why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Answer, we observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the church in the Council of Laodicea, AD 336, transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. An act of man and not of God. I also came across some very interesting communication, which is found in the book The Antichrist Agenda, The Ten Commandments Twice Removed. Now, I want to make it clear again, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and anybody who may be listening to this broadcast via the local FM station, I am not standing in judgment of any person or denomination, but I must be true to God's word, and I'm simply quoting communication. A member of the public wrote to the Catholic Church, and this is what the letter says. Dear sir, is the accusation true that Protestants accuse you of. They say you changed the seventh-day Sabbath to the so-called Christian Sunday, identical with the first day of the week. If so, when did you make the change and by what authority? Now, this is a reply from the Catholic Extension magazine based in America. Once again, I'm not judging, I'm simply quoting from material. This is a reply. Dear sir, regarding the change from the observance of the Jewish Sabbath to the Christian Sunday, I wish to draw your attention to the facts. Fact one, listen carefully, that Protestants who accept the Bible as the only rule of faith and religion, notice that, the Bible as the only rule of faith and religion, should by all means go back to the observance of the Sabbath. The fact that they do not, but on the contrary, observe Sunday stultifies them in the eyes of every thinking man. Point two. We do not accept the Bible as the only rule of faith. Bit of a problem? Besides the Bible, we have the living church as a rule to guide us. We say this church instituted by Christ to teach and guide men through life has the right to change the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. Let me hit the pause button for a moment. I got a real problem with that because the Ten Commandments are not part of the ceremonial law. They are part of the moral law, and whether you like to believe it or not, they continue to stand today, all ten. I'm starting work on a new sermon about the ceremonial Mosaic Moses law versus the moral law. If Neil Tyler has me back next year, you'll get to hear it. Continuing the quote. And yes, we accept her change of the Sabbath to Sunday. We frankly say, yes, the church made this change, made this law as she made many other laws. Point three, listen to this very carefully. We also say that of all Protestants, the Seventh-day Adventists are the only group that reason correctly and are consistent with their teachings. It is somewhat laughable to see the Protestant churches in pulpit and legislation demand the observance of Sundays, of which there is nothing in the Bible. Dear friends, you know, in the Old Testament book of Daniel, there is reference to this earthly power which would attempt to change God's laws. And I would like you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Many of you know this scripture very well. Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. By the way, if you're here for the very first time today, or you're relatively new to Christianity and you think, oh boy, this kind of doesn't make sense, meet me at the door, give me your name and contact phone number and email address. If I can't come and share with you what the word says, I will get one of the locals to do so. I don't want anybody leaving this place of worship today confused about what the Bible says in regards to the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. So again, if you're new here and you would like to know a little bit more about what the Bible teaches, come and give me your information. I will ensure 100% that you are followed up. Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings, who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. Here's the key. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and the visions of times. Notice what the Bible says. This power shall intend to change the times and the law. And another version of the Bible, it says, shall think to change the times and the laws. Isn't that amazing, dear friends? Daniel, under prophetic vision so very long ago, predicted that this earthly power would attempt to change God's times and laws, and it has indeed attempted that change. But you know, friends, despite that change, I want to tell you that I am convinced more than ever that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, Saturday. And you can open your Bible and read it from the very first verse and chapter of Genesis to the very last verse and chapter of Revelation, and you will find nowhere a change in day from the seventh day, Saturday, to any other day of the week. It is very clear. Now, you know, I don't have a Bachelor of Theology. I'm a bus driver for a living. I have no formal qualifications. I'm a simple, humble bus driver and a church organist of sorts. Isn't that right, Kath? Kath agrees with the of sorts bit. But for my simple human mind, I don't need a degree to understand what the scriptures tell us, that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. But then the question comes up, do we really need to keep the seventh day Sabbath? Wasn't the law pertaining to the Sabbath nailed to the cross when Jesus died? In the scripture, we find two laws. As I mentioned earlier, we have the Mosaic, the law of Moses, the ceremonial law. We have the moral law. Friends, I would tell you today, without apology, that the moral law contains all 10 commandments and is still binding today. Consider the scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but what? To fulfill. I have a book at home in my library. Now, we've got one or two young people here today. I want to talk to you for a minute. Those who think they're young, that's okay. You know, when my grandparents, Grandma and Granddad Davy, passed away, they left me all their books. Now, at the time, I was probably maybe 21, 22. I thought, really? Couldn't you leave me your car? Couldn't you leave me some money? Couldn't you leave me your retirement village unit that I could sell for money? Now that I'm older and wiser, I praise the Lord that they left me hundreds of books from Ellen White, Christian literature, which is worth more than all the money in the world. And now I can use those books as I get a little older to preach the word of God. Young people, if you're left Christian literature and not money, praise the Lord. And so, we have discovered that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. It begins and ends at sundown. It is part of the moral law, which still exists today. But despite all that the scriptures say, people will still want to argue the fact that the Sabbath doesn't matter anymore, or that it has been changed. In fact, there are some scriptures in the Bible which on face value appear to support Sunday sacredness. Let's look at a couple of them and see what they're really telling us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'd like our treasurer to listen carefully to this one if he's here. I don't know, last time I picked on the treasurer too. I can't remember what I said, but sorry, treasurer. You'll know why when we come to the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. Open your Bible, scroll on your smart device. Don't take the preacher's word. Just because someone stands in the pulpit and preaches the word doesn't guarantee that what they're saying is from the word of God. Open your Bibles and make sure that what we are preaching is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, there you go, first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. There you go. On the first day of the week, we now have Sabbath changed to Sunday. Really? What does it say to do? Lay up something, store it. So there, when somebody does come by with the lettuce, I will take your gift to Jerusalem. Does that mean that the Sabbath has suddenly now changed to Sunday? Absolutely not. I know many church treasurers in this conference who on Sunday are counting the offerings, writing the receipts for the tithe, getting the money ready to bank during the business week. Just because they are doing the work on of a treasurer on Sunday morning doesn't mean that suddenly we are now to keep Sunday as the Sabbath day. It has absolutely no bearing. Here's another one. This one, always, always comes up in discussions amongst Christians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Friends, if you ever want to start studying the Bible with somebody and leading them to Christ, be prepared to answer the questions on this scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Many, many, many years ago, a mate challenged me on this one, and sadly, I hadn't studied my Bible enough to be able to answer him. An opportunity was lost. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. There you go. Don't judge anybody. It's okay. We can keep Sunday. It's all good. You can keep Sabbath. That's okay. Really? Is that what it's actually saying? Let's look at these verses in a little more detail. Number one, may I suggest to you that the scripture is referring to the ceremonial Sabbath, plural, not the weekly Sabbath, singular. Point two, in verse 17, there is a key scripture which are a shadow of things to come. Now, let me put this in simple English. This scripture is referring, one, to the ceremonial Sabbath, plural, not the weekly Sabbath, singular. Number two, they are a shadow of things to come, that is Christ's death on the cross. It is also telling us that the Christians in the early Christian church were arguing over whether they should continue to celebrate the ceremonial Sabbath. And Paul is simply saying to them, don't argue, don't debate over whether you are keeping the ceremonial Sabbath. It has no direct, rather it has nothing to do with the weekly Sabbath. So again, this scripture in no way supports Sunday sacredness or sacredness of any other day. There are other scriptures we could look at this morning, time does not allow. So let's review our study today. We can agree that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands, it would be unanimous. We have discovered that the Sabbath begins and ends at sundown. We have discovered that there has been an attempted change to the times and laws of God, but by an act of man. So I guess the other question we need to ask is, does it really matter? Does it really matter that I keep the seventh day Sabbath? Does it? Does it matter? Consider John chapter 14, verse 15. You know it. If you love me, what? Keep some of my commandments? Keep 8 or 9 of my commandments? No, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then we will turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Again, our students of Bible prophecy will know this scripture and its significance very well. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. This is what it reads. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now let's put some of that prophetic language into simple English we understand. Satan was angry with who? The church, correct, and went to make war with the small remaining part of the church, which is remnant, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it is my understanding from my study of the scripture that God has a small group in the last days of earth history who will remain faithful to Jesus and all 10 of his commandments. God has a remnant people who want to follow God's ways and not the traditions of man. So when the question is asked, does it really matter which day we keep as the Sabbath? The answer is a resounding yes, it is. You know, dear family, as we near the end of time and wait for the literal return of Jesus, I want to remind you that God continues today to seek a commandment-keeping people. God is looking for men and women. He is looking for young people. He is looking for boys and girls who will stand on the word of God, a group who will keep the seventh-day Sabbath because they want to follow God's way rather than follow the traditions of men. In closing this morning, may I turn you to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Verses 22 and 23. Isaiah chapter 66. Verses 22 and 23. That's the 66th chapter of Isaiah, verses 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I shall make before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. What a wonderful day that will be when we see Jesus come again in his everlasting kingdom. We will, from one Sabbath to another and from one week to the next, worship him, the one who loved us, who died for us, who rose again, who ascended to heaven, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Friends, one more time, the Bible is clear. The Sabbath is the seventh day, the Sabbath which Jesus kept at the end of creation, the Sabbath we find in the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath we find in the New Testament, the Sabbath we will find in heaven. The question is, do you and I wish to remain faithful to Jesus and his word? Let's determine today. In fact, let's make a decision right now, right here in Beaudesert Seventh-day Adventist Church, to be a commandment-keeping people. A people who uphold the seventh-day Sabbath. A people who have the faith in Jesus and bear his testimony. Thank you for this time of worship, for the words of Jesus in the Bible. We thank you we can gather together in this place to open the word, to sing and to pray. Dismiss us with your blessing, and the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day, tomorrow, and till Jesus comes. Amen.